If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast as well with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. That's anchor.fm. What are you waiting for? Hey, and welcome back to All the Things That Keep Us Up at Night. On this episode, I'm going to start talking about the West Memphis 3. I do have to give a trigger warning about this. This does involve 3 8-year-old boys that got murdered, and I will be talking about how they were found, their autopsies. It's going to get really deep, so if this is not for you, please do not listen. It gets very descriptive. So I don't want to trigger anyone by that. So that is what we are going to be talking about. I literally have 23 pages of notes because this case is just crazy. It has so many twists and turns. It involves a lot of people. So let's just jump right into it. Now, this case surrounds the murder of 3 8-year-old boys. Their names are Stevie Edward Branch, Christopher Mark Byers, and James Michael Moore. Stevie, Christopher, and Michael were second graders at Weaver Elementary School. They each had achieved the rank of Wolf in the local Cub Scouts, and they were best friends. Stevie Edward Branch was born on November 26, 1984. He was the son of Stephen and Pamela Branch. They divorced when Stevie was a baby. His mom was awarded custody and later went on to marry Terry Hobbs. At the time of his disappearance, Stevie was 8 years old, 4'2" tall. He weighed 65 pounds and had blonde hair. He was wearing a white shirt and blue jeans. Stevie was riding his black and red bicycle. He was an honor student, lived with his mom Pamela and stepfather Terry Hobbs, and his 4-year-old half-sister Amanda. Christopher Mark Byers was born June 23rd, 1984. His mom, Melissa Defer, is D-E-F-I-R. I'm sorry if I'm not saying that correctly. It's Melissa Defer and father Ricky Murray. They divorced when Christopher was 4 years old. Shortly afterwards, Melissa married John Mark Byers, and he adopted Christopher. At the time of Christopher's disappearance, he was 8 years old, 4 foot tall, 52 pounds. His hair was light brown. He was wearing blue jeans, dark shoes, and long-sleeved white shirt. Christopher lived with mom Melissa, his adopted father John, and his stepbrother Sean Ryan Clark, who was 13 years old at the time. Melissa says Christopher was a typical 8-year-old. He still believed in the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus, which makes me so sad. This whole case makes me really sad because my cousin just turned 9, and I have so many baby cousins in my family that when I was researching this, I did break down and cry a few times. So it is sad. It is very sad. James Michael Moore, who went by Michael, so when you hear me say Michael, this is who I'm talking about. He went by his middle name, as I do too. So Michael Moore was born July 27th, 1984. Michael was born to Dana and Todd Moore. When Michael disappeared, he was 8 years old, 4'2" tall, 55 pounds. He had brown hair. He was wearing a blue Boy Scouts of America shirt, blue pants, wearing an orange and blue Boy Scout hat. Michael was riding his light green bicycle. Little Michael loved wearing his scout uniform, even when he wasn't in meetings. He was considered the leader of the three boys, and he lived with his parents and 9-year-old sister Dawn. Stevie, Michael, and Christopher were reported missing on May 5th, 1993. John Byers, the adoptive father of Christopher, was the first one to report to the police around 7 o'clock that evening. Allegedly, the three boys were seen together by neighbors who told of seeing them play together around 6:30 the evening of their disappearance, as well as seeing little Stevie's stepfather, Terry Hobbs, calling the boys' names for them to come home. Initial police searches were limited that night, but the next morning, police started to search for the kids around 8, May 6th, led by the Crittenden County Search and Rescue personnel. Searchers were all over West Memphis, but focused mainly on Robin Hood Hills. That's where the boys were reported being seen last. There was a search of Robin Hood Hills by a human chain, but they found no sign of the kids. Around 1:45 in the afternoon, juvenile parole officer Steve Jones spotted a boy's black shoe floating in a muddy creek that led to a major drainage canal in Robin Hood Hills. A search of the ditch revealed the boys' bodies. Now, I'm gonna warn you, this is where it gets really graphic, so if you don't want to hear the details, then I would stop right now, because it's bad. They had been stripped naked and hog-tied with their own shoelaces, their right ankles tied to their right wrist, left ankles tied to their left wrist, behind their backs. Their clothes were found in the creek. Some of the clothing was twisted around sticks that had been thrust into the muddy ditch. Their clothes were mostly turned inside out, and two pairs of the boys' underwear were never found. Police believe that the boys were assaulted and killed where they were found, but there are a lot of critics that argue that the assault was unlikely to have occurred at the creek. Maybe it happened somewhere else and then they took the bodies there. The autopsies were done by forensic pathologist Frank J. Peretti, and he indicated that Christopher died of multiple injuries, while Stevie and Michael died of multiple injuries with drowning. Police first saw that the boys had been raped. However, later, expert testimony disputed this despite trace amounts of sperm DNA found on a pair of pants recovered from the scene. Prosecution experts said that Christopher's wounds were caused by a knife attack and Christopher had been purposely castrated by the murderer because he had lacerations to various parts of his body and mutilation to his scrotum and penis. The defense said the injuries were probably caused by post-mortem animal predation. Christopher had Ritalin in his system, but it was at subtherapeutic level. Christopher did have ADHD, was prescribed Ritalin in January of 1993, and John Byer said that Christopher may not have taken his medicine the morning of May 5th. Two injuries were particularly dramatic and became focal points of the trials. Stevie Branch had the left side of his face cut and removed. It was completely gouged. Christopher Byers had his groin area gouged, his testicles removed, as was the skin to his penis. Michael Moore received 63 injuries. Christopher Byers had 62 injuries and Stevie Branch had 21. Michael had 34 specified on his right side and 19 on his left. Christopher had 16 injuries on his right side and 36 on his left side. Stevie Branch had 7 on his right side and 11 on his left side. Now, many injuries were not specified as to which side of the body they were on. Michael Moore had 10 extensive skull fractures, and almost all of his injuries were on his upper body. He also had defensive injuries. Christopher had 24 injuries on his lower body. Stevie had 6 injuries, and Michael had 5 injuries on their lower body. A mention is made of a microscopic exam revealing bacterial colonies on Christopher's penis. Christopher had 2 old scars on his face, 1 on his chest, and a few on his lower extremities. Stevie and Michael had no old scars. Now, injuries do change color over time, the rough order being red to black and blue or purple, then green, yellow, and ultimately, they go away. Well, the time given to progress through these colors does vary among textbooks. with red being immediate and yellow taking days. Yellow was used twice for specified injuries and once for multiple injuries on Chris Byers' lower extremities. Yellow is not used to describe any of Michael's injuries, and it only described yellow on Stevie's thigh where he had a scratch. Now, this suggests that the injuries that Christopher Byers had that were yellow happened either earliest or possibly took place before the murders. In closing, Stevie Branch is buried in Mount Zion Cemetery in Steele, Missouri. Christopher Byers is buried in Forest Hill Cemetery East in Memphis, Tennessee. Michael Moore is buried in Crittenden Memorial Park Cemetery in Marion, Arkansas. In 1994, a memorial was made for the three murder victims. It's located in the playground of Weaver Elementary School in West Memphis, Arkansas. In May of 2013, for the 20th anniversary of the murders, Principal Sheila Grissom, I hope I'm saying that correctly, Sheila Grissom, she raised funds to refurbish the memorial, which was really nice. This episode is going to be short because I wanted to tell you guys about the little boys and what happened to them. And in the next episode, we are going to be discussing all of the suspects and all of the crazy twists and turns that the questionings took, that the suspects took. And then, of course, I will do an episode on the trial. There is nothing in my 23 pages of notes that I can skip over. This is very detailed. You guys need to know all the information, because at the end of this, you'll have to form your own opinion. And I want you guys to have all of the knowledge and the information possible to come up with your own conclusion on what happened. This is a crazy one, you guys. Stay tuned for the next episode, and thank you for listening about the three little boys, and I will see you guys on the next one.